All right, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the 10th month, the second day, the year 2022, and it's the 17th, is it? The 17th? Yes, 17th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's the feast day of all the angels. Now, we have Terry online here in Ireland, and we're praying for Terry that he becomes an acquirer and then a catechumen, and then he actually comes into the Catholic Church, and then he has a hope to save his immortal soul once you come into the Catholic Church. So again, that's the most important thing you got to worry about, and you got to study, you got to learn. As I said, Proverbs 17:16, he that refuses to learn shall fall into evils. And even St. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 4, I forget the exact verse, he says, until I return, attend unto reading and exhortation. Take heed to thyself in doctrine, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Doctrine. Now, I like all the rest of you guys out there, I grew up as a nominal Catholic. Mm-hmm. I didn't know nothing. We didn't study. We didn't read. We took catechism to be confirmed. And after that, no more catechism, no more faith, no more studying. The priest in the pulpit, he never said anything that was any of relevance to what's going on in the world today. It was the worst sermons I ever had. So we didn't have the faith. And let's face it, our parents, if you're not talking about the faith, if you're not talking about the scriptures, if you're not talking about the dogmas, if you're not talking about what a heresy is. For instance, my sister in Virginia, when I was talking about the faith, I'm saying, well, you know, anybody who notoriously holds a heresy, and is culpably holds a heresy, is outside the Catholic Church, and they're on the road to hell, even if they think they're Catholics. And my sister goes, well, we're rich, stop. I don't even know what a heresy is. I don't even know what a dogma is. Can you imagine that? But I was the same way, so I'm trying to embarrass people. But we grew up without knowing what a dogma was, what a heresy was, what is the consequence of denying the dogma. We make the act of faith, which says, I profess to believe in all the things which the Holy Catholic Church teaches because God has revealed them to his church. And God can neither lie nor be deceived. So, if we're going to profess belief in the Catholic faith, that means we need to know it. We need to study it. Dogmas are infallible teachings on faith and morals which the Holy Catholic Church has defined. That's what a dogma is. The church says you have to believe this if you want to be Catholic. If you culpably deny it, you're a heretic. So anything that goes against a dogma is a heresy. And anybody who holds a heresy is a heretic. Now, you could be a material heretic if you're not culpable because you didn't learn it and you didn't have the time yet, but you would have. Or you could be culpable because you're not studying, you're not learning. That's called affected ignorance. Is ignorance when you do not study something when you should. You do not read something when you're supposed to. And that's what God's going to say to all these people on their judgment day when we're preaching to them now about the dogmas and about the faith. Did you look at Richard Sykes? Did you read the Profession of Faith? Did you see what he was teaching? Did you read the Catholic commentaries? Did you see where this was being taught by the church fathers, the true church fathers, and the infallible papal decrees? Have you seen this? Have you seen have you even read this? And if you're not looking for it, that's affected ignorance. Now, other people read it, and they don't agree with it. So they want to make up their own mind. Well, I just want to give this quick thing for Terry. Now, because God wants all men to be saved. That's 2 Timothy 3, 4-5. God, our Savior, who love all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. God loves all men. But you got to love God back. And how do we know that we love God? St. John says in 1 John 5:3, he says, this is the charity of God, that we keep his commandments, that we obey his commandments. That's what dogmas are, basically. God's commandments on faith and morals. Those things never change. The Blessed Trinity, there's three divine persons and one God. That's a dogma. Jesus Christ is the one divine person, and he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. He's God and he's man. That's Jesus Christ. That's a dogma. Those dogmas were fought over in the early church by a lot of people that didn't believe Jesus Christ was truly God. The Arian heretics, they believed he was just a man, but he was imbued with the grace of God and was like God, but he wasn't really God. So you see, these are dogmas. And these things never change. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. So don't let these transgender freaks mess around with your head.
Yeah.
Can you believe today they're trying to say a man could be a woman could be a man? Okay, right? Now, that's a natural law dogma. No pope ever had to come out and say, we declare a defining decree that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and that you can never have one to mix them together. You know, I mean, this is where we're living in a crazy world, right? They don't have no dogma. That's a natural law dogma. Okay? So I'll give you an example of laws that cannot change. That's what a dogma is. And when it comes to our religious dogmas, and the church infallibly defines them, we have to believe them when we learn about them. And if we culpably deny them, we're a formal heretic. And you need to believe the basic dogmas, even to become a member of the Catholic Church, to be the faithful. You need to at least believe, know and believe all the basic dogmas. Now, I have them up on my site in 4 pages. 4 pages, that's all it takes. Read 4 pages, you can listen to the audio, and those power-packed dogmas on those 4 pages are very powerful. If you believe in that, you're already starting, you're on the right road, and then we show you more evidence that's pertinent today to prove to you that bastard in Rome is not the true pope. He's an apostate anti-pope. We call him a poop, not a pope. I say, call him a poop, call him a dope, but don't call him the pope. The guy's a monster. He believes Jews that deny Christ are chosen people of God. They're on the way of salvation. They're under covenant with God. And these Jews don't even believe in Jesus Christ. They deny him. They allow pedophilia. He says there's no hell, that when people die, they just disappear. I can go on and on what this guy teaches. The scandal that's being taught. And I can show you what the true Catholic Church teaches from true popes and church fathers. And he's contradicting them. And that's a big teaching we have in the Catholic Church that they hid. And it's been a teaching, the first 1,000 years, everyone knew about it. And after 1,000 years, they started to bury these teachings a little bit. And even up to the 1500s, they were still criticizing people they believed were popes. So the biggest teaching we have here is, if a pope ever falls away from the Catholic faith and becomes a formal heretic, he loses his office automatically. He is not the pope. Even if he calls himself the Pope, even if the whole world thinks he's the Pope, that's a bulcum, that's in the papal oath that they took for like 1,000 years. The papal oath, when the Pope comes to power, he takes that oath. If I should do this, I am no longer the Pope, I lose my office, I'm out of the church. And if he gets elected and he's a formal heretic, his election is null and void. That's now think about it. It's logical. It's logical. It's logical. And I give you the example. Like, say you had a pope. This guy's basically doing it anyway with the pedophilia. He supports all the crimes. He brings them over to Rome and he hides them and covers it up. So I gave the thing. If you had a pope that got up and you believed he was the pope, and he starts bringing idols into the church, and he puts a Buddha on top of the altar, and he starts bowing down to Buddha, well, guess what? How could that guy be called the Holy Father? How could that be called the pope? How could people follow that guy? Those are the protections God has given us, and it applies to every Catholic. Any Catholic that becomes a formal heretic and idolater is bounced out of the church, and they can't hold offices. It allows us, when we see a so-called pope or a so-called Catholic bishop, when he does something like that, to get up and say, I'm out of here. You're not my bishop anymore. You're an apostate or a heretic or an idolater, and I'm gone. I'm going to report you to the higher authorities, or I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's what Eusebius did when Nestorius got up in the 400s, and he got up in the pulpit. He's a bishop, Nestorius, and he got up in the pulpit, and he said, Mary's not the mother of God. Because he was an Arian heretic. He didn't believe Jesus Christ really had a divine nature. He believed he was only a man and not also God. So he got up in the pulpit and said, hey, guess what? Mary's not the mother of God. So Eusebius the layman got up and says, I'm out of here. You're a heretic. You're not my bishop. And the whole church got up and walked out of his pulpit. Right? Just like that. No declaration. He knew his dogma. He knew the bishop denied it. You're gone. And the pope came out and said, from the moment that Nestorius preached that heresy in the pulpit, he lost his office, he had no jurisdiction, he had no power. So you see, learning teachings, see? I'm giving Terry a few little teachings here. So when he starts reading these true teachings of the true Catholic Church, he's going to love it if he has goodwill. He's going to love it because it's the powerhouse, it's the thing we stand on. It's the rock. Now you've got the shifting sands. It doesn't matter what you believe in. Everybody's saved. You can be a Buddhist, you can be a Hindu. That bastard, Assisi, they brought him Buddhas and put them on top of the tabernacle. We have churches that are desecrated in Europe with images of false gods, Jupiter and Janus, Venus, Apollo, in so-called Catholic churches. What is the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before thee. That's the worst commandment you can break. And you look at the desecrations of Catholic places and don't tell me God accepts that or you're a knucklehead. What do you think? I always say, what is God, schizophrenic? It doesn't matter what you believe. He's all different kinds of things. He doesn't have one way, one truth, one church. And when you look at these evidence, it's overwhelming. All right? So, the big thing you want to do here, and if God loves you and there's any hope for you, he's going to punish you. He's going to bring you down. He's going to make you sick. He's going to let devils come all over you. That's how I converted. And maybe that's what's happening to Terry now. And I'm going to say the exorcism prayer, a short one, St. Michael, for him. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in the battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking to ruin the souls. Amen. And you will find out that when you start coming closer to seeking him, you will be attacked by devils. But something else will happen when if you're good, you'll be able to bear it. You'll even be joyful because you'll say, I must be doing something right for this guy to want to come after me. Because many years, that also a ploy the devil plays, if you're really bad and at that point and God isn't working with you, he allows you to go on in false prosperity and health and everything seems fine. And you're oblivious to your condition so that when you die, you get shocked because you go to hell right away. The best thing that God can do to somebody is to punish them, to get their attention. We read about that in Hebrews 12, 6 to 8. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastises, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. For if you be without chastisement, you are bastards and not sons. That's Hebrews 12, 6 and verse 8. So, you see how important it is to study the true faith. And you don't want to be, and you see also, if you look back and examine all of our lives, and the way I grew up too, I was a nominal Catholic. It was like a racial thing, you know, like I'm a Catholic and that's it, you know. I didn't study the faith. Our parents, we didn't even pray grace before meals. I mean, we were really bad. I mean, we went to Mass on the Lord's Day, went to confession on the seventh weekday, then we went to Mass, and everything's fine. But, you know, confession doesn't count if you don't have a firm purpose of amendment, if you continue to commit those sins. You have to be sorry for your sin for a purpose of amendment. We were taught the opposite. I had priests tell me, don't worry, we can never stop sinning. Just keep coming to confession. He told me, don't worry, we can never stop sinning. St. John says, let there be no sin found in among you. Yes, we were all sinners because of original sin. And before we came into the church, I had other sins. But God wants you to be perfect and holy. Ephesians 4, 5, be perfect and holy as God is perfect and holy. Can you imagine a kid, young kid like me struggling with sins? And the priest says, don't worry about it. Keep doing it. Just come to confession on the seventh weekday. The joke I make about the mafia guys. They come to Mass. They're, let's say, murdering people during the week, right? So this old mafia guy, he knows he's going to murder somebody in the upcoming week, so he wants to get a pre-absolution. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I murdered some guy last week, and I'm going to murder somebody on the two more days from now. Can you absolve me? I mean, because that's what the priest teaches. They say you can never stop sinning. I have stopped sinning. I was committing sins of sexual lust. I was married, and then all other things. That's a long story, okay? Even when I was a young kid, okay? So I was doing that. I'm not doing it anymore at all. Since God called me when I was 40 years old, I'm now 66. That's 26 years. I'm chased for 20. I'm telling you now. And they tell you that, oh, priests can't be celibate. They have to get married. That's not the reason that they can't control themselves and they're doing the homo thing and they're going with women is because they don't got the faith. That's the Romans 1 curse. Romans 1:28. As they like not to have God in their knowledge, God turned them over to a reprobate sense. Romans 1:28, they committed all these sins of immorality. God pulls his grace back, and you can't control yourself now. You can't, because you denied faith dogmas. He says the first sins you commit are those of idolatry, and all other sins follow. What's that one verse where he says, the beginning of fornication is the devising of idols, and the invention of them is the corruption of all life. The beginning of fornication is the devising of idols. Devising of sins against the faith, first commandment, sins against God, denying who he is, denying some of the things he says he is, denying his dogmas, and therefore then God pulls his grace back and you fall into sins of immorality. So, this is the priest that lied to me. When God called me to conversion, I thank our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother Mary. God is my Father. Mary is my mother. My true parents were reprobates and filthy. They're dead and presumed in hell. And I, when I turned to God as my ultimate Father and Mary as my ultimate mother, they cleaned me up. The first time in my life without these bastard apostate priests getting in the way. Every time you try to convert or do something right, you go to these guys and you end up getting worse. They were even molesting people in the confessionals. In the confessionals. Now, I say, even if you had two good parents that were really good Catholics, God's still your ultimate father. But in my case, my parents were horrible. They were reprobates. They're slobs. They were bastards. They were apostates. They were. I can't stand them even now. Okay? So it's not too hard for me to you know, but if you had good parents even, you could say, my father and my mother, I love them, and they're very important to me, but God's still my ultimate father. Mary's my ultimate mother. And you can still have a great holiness and affection towards your holy parents, if you have holy parents. Mm-hmm. But all we're saying here is look at the condition of the world. Look at the condition of the nominal Catholics that are around you. The abortions, a lot of them support abortion now. A lot don't even believe in the Holy Eucharist. They're committing all kinds of sexual sins. They're committing sins against the faith. They don't even know the faith. Conservative Protestants are better than nominal Catholics. They at least quote the scriptures. And they try to keep some type of morality. They're not as bad as nominal Catholics. So what you got to understand here is, our Lord said in Matthew 7:14, narrow is the gate, straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. They don't want to quote those verses to you today. They want you to believe everyone's going to heaven. You can't say one person's going to hell anymore or they're going to kill you. You can have a gangster going in, a punk street kid going and kill people and commit a robbery, and then the cop shoots him. The poor kid, he really was a good kid. He just had a bad day. He's in heaven. Everyone's in heaven. Everyone's saved. The Buddhist, the apostate Jew that denies Christ. The Protestants that aren't Catholic, they're saved. Everyone's saved. Hindus are saved. Oh, they always say, he's looking down on heaven. They're all looking down on heaven. They're all looking down. They're all whispering over my shoulder. And you know what I say to these people? Well, they say we can't make judgments that these people are in hell, but they're making judgments that they're in heaven. Ain't that a judgment? Well, basically, as Catholics, yes, we could make judgments. Our faith tells us we must make judgments based upon the facts. And our Lord told us most people go to hell. Anyone who's not inside the Catholic Church is on the road to hell. If they die that way, they go to hell. That's a dogma. And even a Catholic who's a true Catholic, a member of the Catholic Church, who dies in mortal sin, he goes to hell. That's a dogma. Look at all the lists of the crimes St. Paul talks about that sends people to hell. We call them the list of sins, crimes. And he says, and such as commit all these sins, they shall inherit everlasting damnation. Hellfire forever. And you don't have people talking about this anymore. And it's shot that they're under the animal's curse because they're worthy of it. Terry should thank God that he gets to hear this today. Yeah. And that his wife has brought him into this because when you die, if you're not in the true Catholic Church and if you're not living a moral life, which means you're not, you have to be free from mortal sin, you're going to end up going to hell with the bulk of humanity. Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, think he find faith on earth? Think he find faith on earth? That's why they laugh at us. Oh, you mean just Ibrani and his little crew of people over here, 10, 12, 13 people? Well, I'll ask you a question. How many people was on the ark in Noah's day? And a lot of people know about Noah. They may not know exactly how many family members he had, but it was Noah and his 7 family members. 8 people were only saved. The whole rest of the earth he flooded. God doesn't fool around. Most people are evil and are going to hell. Nobody's telling you this. They're putting cushions under your elbows and saying, you'll be fine, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Prots are really bad at this too, though, because they say all you got to do is believe in Jesus. At least they say that, but as long as you believe in Jesus, but you don't got to do anything else. You know, what did our Lord say? Jesus Christ said this, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Matthew 19:17?
Yeah. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, as I always say, all 10 of them, you see, count them all. And they expand to a whole bunch of other things you got to do. So, you need, and if you don't start studying the Catholic faith, and I made it very easy for people. It was difficult because we were coming in like Abraham in the beginning, and all these people had all these heresies and immoralities, and no one was teaching us. But God has done miracles here for me, and everyone in here has done miracles. Every one of us came through the hard path. Even the brothers in Ireland who were searching around come to a hard path. But my works have made it easy. And even though I speak about deep things, I speak about them simply. They're not hard to understand. You know, and the first thing I tell Terry, start reading the basic profession of faith and start reading the other points. And then if you have any questions, you can start reading a little deeper. But you don't even have to get deep. You don't have to read like all books. I'll give you an example. The Salvation Dogma says that only members of the Catholic Church can be in the way of salvation. So everybody who dies and goes to the particular judgment and is not a member of the Catholic Church, they go to hell. That's it. That's the Salvation Dogma, okay? That was beginning to be denied in a big way in the 16th century. In all these heretical imprimatur books, we're trying to tell you, guess what? The Indians are the pagan hell because they never heard of Christ and they never were taught. They can be saved by invincible ignorance. Somebody, a Jew who denies Christ could actually be pleasing and be saved while he's denying Christ. You can follow your own conscience and be saved. But what I just said to you there, only members of the Catholic Church, those who believe in the Catholic faith, are members of the Catholic Church and subject to the legitimate hierarchy, can be in the way of salvation. That's it. Now, I have a whole book on that. It's interesting. You may want to read it just to be edified and enlightened because it's powerful. But that's basically it. I can spare you from reading a 50-page book. I just said it in one paragraph. And that's why it's us against them. Our Lord said in Matthew 18, 17 to 18, if he will not hear the church, let him be as unto thee, a heathen and a publican. If he will not hear the church, and there's only one God, therefore there can only be one faith and one church. The Catholic Church. There can't be 27,000 churches like the Protestants and this Russian Orthodox Schismatics and the Greeks. There's literally probably 27,000 or maybe more different churches calling themselves the Christian Church. And they cannot be. And that church in Rome's not the Christian Church. And you can tell because of what they teach. And our Lord says, how can you know false prophets one way also? Matthew 7:15. He says, beware the shepherds who come to you in clothing as sheep, but inwardly are ravening wolves. They pretend to be Catholic. By their fruits you shall know them. A good tree bringeth forth good fruit, an evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You tell me that when a priest starts molesting little boys, and they allow that to happen, and they pass them off from parish to parish, and the people don't even care, and they keep bringing their kids to this church, you're worthy of it. If that's not like bad fruit, I don't know what is. I mean, a parents would have the right to kill that bastard if the state didn't do it. Hunt them down, get a sniper rifle, and pick the guy, try not to get caught and kill him. That's how bad that is. And they cover it up. That's just one of the bad fruits. Look at the way we grew up and the conditions and the things that we were believing in. All the horrible sins, alcoholism, drug addiction, thievery, dishonesty, all kinds of sexual sins. All this stuff going on, right? So that's if you want to be saved, that's what our Lord said. The narrow. Now, I'll tell you, He said the narrow. Enter the narrow path. Now this narrow path that we're on, to us, it's a beautiful path. It's the only path. It doesn't even seem narrow to us. It seems wonderful. I said in the beginning, when you're committing sins, it's a little difficult maybe to clean yourself up, but with prayer, you got to pray first of all. And study, and then obey God's commandments, God will clean you up. But in the beginning, God's commandments seem hard, but they're not hard. They're the easiest things in the world. Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is sweet, my burden is light. My yoke is sweet, my burden. You know what's heavy, and you know what's sour? Sin. That's what's sour. That's what's heavy. You put this big load of sins on your back. Ugly, filthy sins. And you became addicted to them. So that you think you need to have them. And until you get them off your back, you're not going to have the true peace that God promises. He says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world give it unto you, do I give you my peace. And he gives you a true inner peace. But the problem you have is your sins. That's the burden. The commandments are easy, joyful, beautiful, wonderful. Everything, once you conform your will to the will of God, it's the only road. You go ahead.
The wages of sin is death. I don't remember the Bible verse.
Yeah, the wages of sin is death, right? And what's the other one? He who declined from the commandments is cursed. That's Psalm 18. How's it go again? He who declined with the commandments is cursed.
Yeah.
Which we were calling it to the homos in the homo parade. Yeah. He that declined from God's commandments is cursed.
Yeah.
What's the other one? John 8:34. He who committed sin is a slave of sin. Mm-hmm. 1 John, I think it's, I forget the exact verse, but he says, whoever committed sin is of the devil. So, it's really, once you get on that right path, it's easy, it's joyful, it's beautiful, it's peaceful. Any persecutions that come your way, God gives you all the grace to handle it. Okay. It's like you're always going to be fighting a winning battle. He sends you trials, but through perseverance and prayer and patience and all the Christian virtues, you pass those trials, and you pass them with joy. And you have true joy in your heart when you're really right with God no matter what, even when you're going through hard times. And this is what God promises you here and now. But most important, everlasting life. Other than that, most of these people that are running around today, they're healthy, they're strong, they got money, they're not worrying, and they're never going to listen to what I have to say unless God punishes them. And I call it the curse of false prosperity. The beloved King David said that when God was trying him and he was going through tribulations and Saul was chasing after him. And he said, Lord, Lord, he says, why are all these evil people so prosperous and I'm being tried? Why? I can't understand. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God and considered their final end. Considered their final, because God has laid it upon them as a deep deception. So that when they die, bango, they're in hell forever. It's over. They're done. Suffering, with the suffering we can't even imagine. God got them. Apostate Pope John Paul II is in hell right now, burning and suffering in a way we can't even imagine. So you say, where is God's justice? It's there. It's here. It's happening. He's in hell right now. That's where God's justice is. And he, some people, you should be thankful if he punishes you once. St. Augustine said, punish me now while I'm on earth so I can be aware of my sins. And don't let me have this false prosperity, this false health, this false confidence. All these Muslims, they think they're going to heaven when they die. The apostate Jews think they're going to heaven. All these Protestants, they think they're going to heaven. Can you imagine what it must be like when they die on their judgment day, when they go straight down to hell? And that's where they go? Now, even like logically speaking, this heresy we have today, a false ecumenism where everyone's saved. Not just the so-called Christian religions, but Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, everybody. As long as you follow your own conscience. I said, right now, your quick way to get yourself killed, show up at one of their funerals and get up and say, he's in hell, everybody go home. Like St. Anthony of Padua said, a member of the Catholic Church who was committing mortal sins of fornication, adultery or something, and he died. And St. Anthony was told to give the funeral oration. So he got up and he said, everybody go home, he's in hell. End of lecture. And he left the pulpit. That's what people need to know. Because, look, if most people are going to hell, and our Lord said it a million times, Matthew 26, many are called, but few are chosen, how come they're not being told that? The opposite is what they're being told. And then that knucklehead in Rome even said that even when people were supposed to go to hell, they don't go to hell because there's no such thing as hell. They just cease to exist. Where did he get that from? His stupid philosophy? That sounds like a Hindu thing or a Buddhist thing. Where did he get that from? That poop. That knucklehead poop. Every time I look at him, I just want to rip his skin off. I want to cut his head off and put it on a pike.
Yeah.
But God says you're worthy of these people.
Yeah.
You what? Think about this. A husband and a parent that allows their kid to continue to go to a church where they're raping your little boys and your girls. What do I say about that? You deserve it.
Yeah.
Our Lord said in OC, one of those verses, OC 4:6, because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. And you will no longer do the offer of priesthood to me. I will curse your children. I will bring curse and damnation on them and you and your whole household because you forgot God. Now, if you're reading the Bible like we read the Bible and like we tell everybody, if they want to be a member of the Catholic Church, you better get on a Bible reading program, read my Bible, the Catholic Commentary, and everything I say is going to light up for you if you're of good will. If you're of bad will, the minute you start reading the Bible and you read God starts killing people, you're going to want to put it down and get angry at God. And you're going to yell at God. Like I said to that one mafia guy many times, his young son got killed, and he was angry at God. And he told me, I'm angry at God. And I said to him, do you believe he's God? I believe he's God. I still believe in God. Okay, you believe he's God. You believe he's all-powerful. You believe he's all-knowing. Yeah. And you're angry at him. He said, yeah. I said, you're a genius. What a genius. Where's that going to get you? That ain't going to get you nowhere, getting angry at God. That one Jew, Steve Allen, he says, the first time I read the Old Testament, he says, God's a homicidal maniac. He's condemning God. No, we're homicidal maniacs.
Yeah.
We're homicidal maniacs. We spiritually kill God when we commit sin. Adam and Eve when they committed the mortal sin. And then we actually killed God and, to get the redemption. But we he's calling God a homicidal maniac. Mm-hmm. You look at the way human beings behave. God kills people in justice to bring law and order. And he kills evildoers. And he allows other evildoers. He kills them in many different ways. So you want to go yell at God? Go ahead. Ain't going to get you nowhere. If you love God and you're reading the Old Testament with a good heart, you're going to love God so much. You're not, you're, and you're going to see how merciful he is too. And just. Just and merciful. All his different commandments. Everything is there. And if you don't see it, it's because you're an obstinate mortal sinner. And you don't want to mend your life. You're a selfish, greedy, self-centered bastard that doesn't want to give up your false gods or your sins, or you don't want to give up your cushy little lifestyle. Because most times when you come to the true God, especially today, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your family members, they're all going to get angry at you. That's why the Lord says, how many times he said in Matthew 10, 34 to 37, he says, think that I came not to bring peace but the sword, and a man's enemies will be in his own household. I came to set the son against the father, the daughter against the mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. He says, he who loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves husband and wife more than me is not worthy of me. Enemies will be in your own household. And so because people idolize their own families or their jobs, they don't want to profess the faith because they're going to fall out of favor with their family, or they're going to lose their job. They're not going to have, they're going to lose a lot of their friends. But when you come close to God, you're not losing anything. You're gaining. Who needs, with like we, the saying goes, with friends like that, who needs enemies? My family, you know, sir, I never liked them. I say, we're always crazy. Always. And so I'm glad to be rid of them. I don't want nothing to do. I love them still. Now, that's another thing. We still love them, but I don't like them. I abhor them. And certain people we abhor to such a degree that if you commit certain sins, they're worthy of the death penalty. Although us Catholics don't have the power to put people to death. We have to bring them to the state. So what we do is we excommunicate them, which they are anyway, and we just avoid them. So I just want to remind you that on your general judgment day, God's first going to ask you, did you even care about the Catholic faith? That's question number one. Did you even really care about the true Catholic faith? And you say, what do you mean, Lord? Did you ever read the Catholic Bible, the Catholic commentary? Did you ever study Catholic dogmas or read Catholic literature on the true teachings of the church? Well, no. I mean, I was born Catholic. I was baptized. I go to Mass on the Lord's Day. I go to confession. That's about it. Get out of my sight, you bum. How could you say you love God when you don't read about him? I always said that. The Bible's God's love letter to mankind. That's what I'm not saying. Let's say you're some guy named Joe Smith living in Montana. And I say, do you love Joe Smith in Montana? I don't even know who is he. Love him. I don't know, even know the guy. You think he's a nice guy? I don't know. Do you love God? I love God. Do you know anything about God? Well, not really. A few things. But not the main things and everything altogether. So you don't have a real picture of the true God? How could you love him? How could you love him? The only thing you got to be obsessed with the world is the faith and loving God. That's what we talk about, wearing sacramentals. Having altars in your place when you could, if you're allowed to wear sacramentals. These are your signatures that you love God. God said in Matthew 8, 38, he was ashamed of me. I will be ashamed of him when I come before my Father. And St. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, I think if we deny him, he will deny us. When you're ashamed, the wearing is when you could. Sometimes you can't. Because in times of persecution, you had to hide. That's fine. That's something different. But if you could wear these and you don't, you got a problem. Yeah. If you could have a Catholic altar in your home and you don't have it, you got a big problem. You got a big problem. As I said, one kid, I went to his house, and he had all these sports figures in his room. And I said, I like sports. We watch sports all the time. I says, I like sports. You can have sports figures up in your room. But I don't see no holy pictures, pal. I want holy pictures. And I want them to outnumber the sports pictures, okay? Holy pictures first, then you can put your sports pictures up. So he was idolizing sports players. When I wake up in my house and I look, right above my bed, I got a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary, the one that converted me when I was living in Newark, New Jersey. That same picture. And I look at it. I look at these pictures. And they're in my house. And I have some over here and some over there. Okay? Some people, you go into their house, they got a picture of the kids all over the place. But nothing about God. Who gave you those kids? God Almighty. Our Lord says in Matthew 6:21, for where thy heart is, for where thy treasure is, there is thy heart also. Where thy treasure is, right? Is that what he says? Yeah. For where thy treasure is, so if your treasure is your family members, sports players, anything, and God's not on the top number one treasure, it's going to manifest itself. A lot of people are embarrassed. But because they don't really love God, they're afraid of persecution. You find out the, when you start doing these holy things, these are the things that are going to protect you. It's the complete opposite of what you think. You think I'm going to hide them, and you could wear them, and you don't. Now you're going to get your ass kicked when you go into that store where there's all Protestants in there, or Jews, or whoever they are, or nominal Catholics. The devils are going to jump all over you when you go into the Walmart now, because you hid these things when you could have wore them. And when you wear them, it's our armor. And you'll see people respect it. They don't give you a hard time. It's amazing what happens when you show your faith, and God's with you. It's the opposite of what you think. Oh, some people are going to ridicule me. They might laugh at me. When I went to McDonald's, the one lady was, why are you wearing that stuff all the time? I says, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Catholic. I says, first of all, you're not a Catholic. I says, if you were a Catholic, what are you ashamed of? What are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of this? I can wear Harry Potter. I could wear some pagan crap all over me, but I can't wear this? I nailed her. And I quoted the Matthew, and he was ashamed. I'd be ashamed of him. She was a nosy lady. They fired her within a month. You know. But anyway, I said, what's the matter? You ashamed? I'm not ashamed. You see the brothers in these political meetings? They're not ashamed. The people respect them for it. They might not agree. They don't agree with it. They'll say, I don't agree with it, but I respect them. Now, some people may even hate it, but if they don't have power for you to take it down, I ain't gonna take it off. Now, if you have to because your work tells you you got to do it, then you can't wear them. I went into all of that before. But what I'm just saying today is that's why Ireland has had so many problems. Not just Ireland, all of Europe, every so-called Catholic nation is not Catholic anymore. It's not just Ireland, it's all over. They lost the faith. That's why God's allowing the Anglicans to come in here and beat up the Irish. He allows evildoers to punish evildoers, and his own chosen people, when they fall away, he puts a yoke on them. And that's what's happening there in Ireland. Look at all the modern traditions that are throwing down on the whole world, these pastors. Globalizing everything, merging everything together, every type of immorality, stuff you can never dream of before. Homos can get married? And they can adopt kids? I don't think they were doing this in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I tell people who idolize the United States or whatever nation they're living in, I says, even if you don't believe we're living in the final days, do you believe in Sodom and Gomorrah? Because most people know about Sodom and Gomorrah. So what would God do to them? Why did he do that to them? Because of massive homosexual sins. So on that point alone, we got big problems, okay? Big problems. But the Antichrist is the epitome of immorality. That's where we're on the verge of the Antichrist. Who can doubt it when you've got this transgender crap? Unbelievable. And if you don't refer to kids the way, a kid can actually say he's a fish even, and he's not a human being. And you got to refer to him as a fish. The day you get anybody with goodwill to do that is that person ain't got no goodwill. Even when I was a pagan, living in Newark, we weren't like that, pal. You tell me to do it, I'm going to knock your face off, okay? You're going to have to kill me because I don't go for that. You see? But a lot of people are caving into that now. Because you know why? Because they're going to lose their job. We're going to fire you. They just had a guy, the other day, so bad it is, a nominal Catholic. He's in front of an abortion clinic praying a rosary with his children. He's got 7 kids. And then some of these abortionists come up and harass his kids. And they're giving his kids a hard time. So he pushes one of them. What happens the next day? 25 FBI agents show up at his house with guns pointed, banging on the door. He says, don't knock the door down, I'll open it, but please put the guns down. They won't put the guns down. You're going to scare my kids. He opens, they come in with the guns, and the guns are pointing at the kids and his whole family because he shoved somebody in an abortion clinic. Antifa people can run around and burn a city, kill people, loot and plunder. Nothing happens to them. You see what's going on here? FBI? They're gangsters. I always said it. They're at the top of the criminal organization, FBI and CIA. They're showing their true colors. That's just more signs of the final days that we're living in. But I'm just going to end this lecture soon now. I'm just going to tell Perry that if he doesn't like to read so much, I have stuff in audios. We can direct you on what to read and what to teach. If you become an inquirer and then you become a catechumen, then you can start praying with your wife because she's a catechumen, and you can pray together, and then Terry will be able to lead the prayers as head of the household, so it will be a wonderful thing. And I'm sure your wife will be very happy too, but most of all, you will have a chance to save your soul. But if you stay the way you are now, you're just with the rest of everybody else in Ireland that doesn't really care about the faith. Or they care about a few dogmas, but not about everything. They might care about abortion, but the faith issues are not on the top of their platter. And a lot of these nominal Catholics that do oppose abortion, they're heretics. idolaters. They believe Jews can go to heaven, Muslims can go to heaven, Hindu, and those are the worst sins, worse than abortion even. All right, so we'll end this lecture right now, and this was for Terry. So let's say three prayers for the conversion of Terry's soul. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And let us not fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to God the Son, Jesus Christ, mediation of our Holy Mother Mary, and the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, St. Joachim, and St. Anne, St. Zachary, and St. Elizabeth, St. John the Baptist, and all the angels and saints, grant Terry all the graces he needs to open up his heart to the true Catholic faith so that he may come into the Catholic Church and do what he needs to come into the Catholic Church and have a hope to save his immortal soul. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Okay. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.